Yeah, Huntress calling in reference to the hijacked aircraft.
This week marks the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
It's American 11.
Number of souls on board, do you know that?
I don't know. Hold on.
And if, like me, you are of a certain age, you remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard those first reports.
Anybody know what that smoke is in Lower Manhattan?
Saw those first unforgettable images.
Tenant Tower reports that there was a fire at the World Trade Center. And that's the area where we lost the airplane.
I live not far from it. I could see it from my window.
This is James Noctway, the celebrated war photographer.
When I saw the first tower smoking, I thought it was an accident, but an accident of that magnitude at the World Trade Center was obviously going to be very important, so I began to assemble my camera gear. While I was doing that, there was a kind of vibration in the air and my windows rattled, and I looked out my window again, saw that the second tower was burning, and understood immediately that we'd been attacked and the United States was now at war.
And just confirmed that was an airliner that crashed into the World Trade Center.
There has been at least one hijack this morning and possibly two.
I got there before either of the towers fell, and I was framing both towers burning, and there's a cross. It's a cross of a church that was about a block and a half away from the South Tower. I understood that this was an attack by Al-Qaeda. I knew enough about our contemporary history. I'd worked enough in Afghanistan to feel that that was no doubt the case. And I just saw that the cross is, you know, a symbol of our culture. So I framed it that way. It wasn't, you know, wasn't such a brilliant thing to do, but it seemed obvious to me. And as I was photographing, the tower collapsed. And it was hard to believe I was seeing it with my own eyes. Those steel girders that you see flying through the air like matchsticks are huge. I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands of pounds each. Gigantic pieces of metal and sides of the building were flying through the air, as well as a kind of confetti of tens of thousands of pieces of paper that had been inside filing cabinets. And all of this was just floating towards me so slowly, I thought I had all the time in the world to make the frame. And I was shooting film. There were 36 frames on a roll of film as opposed to digital, which has many more. I got to the last frame when I shot that picture, and that stopped me because I knew I had to change film. And in stopping me, everything went back into normal motion, and I realized I was about to get taken out. And I had a few seconds to take cover in the lee of buildings on the other side of the street from where I was standing, and all of the wreckage sort of fell over me.
September 11th, 2001.
A new type of war.
That's what it is.
For more than 30 years, James Noctway risked his life covering war zones all over the world. He survived shooting and grenade attacks, He's won pretty much every photojournalism award there is. He's even been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 10 times. So we talked back in 2015, when there was a new museum exhibition documenting his work in Afghanistan, Iraq, and the place it all began, Ground Zero.
The photo that haunts me is the one of the firefighters at Ground Zero. All you see is rubble, huge building, and a firefighter kind of in silhouette. And there's no obvious carnage. There are no close-up faces to carry emotion, but it's unforgettable. What makes it such a powerful photograph, do you think?
The scale. The scale of that fireman against the amount of wreckage was staggering. Everyone who was on the scene was in a kind of autopilot because it was so shocking. I think everyone just did what they knew how to do. I mean, bringing out fire hoses was of no value whatsoever, but that's what firemen do, so that's what they did. As a photographer, I could have been paralyzed with disbelief, but my job is to document visually, and that's what I did. But it's still hard to believe. I looked at the picture yesterday, and it was hard to believe. I've actually never gotten over it.
I've read some of the things you've said about why you chose to become a photojournalist in the first place. I think it goes way back to you were a student in the 1960s. Vietnam War was happening, civil rights protests. The photographs taken at the time, you felt really changed history.
Photographers were telling us one thing and our political and military leaders were telling us something else. And I found the work of the photographers to be more convincing. And when I finally decided what I wanted to do with my life, that's what I decided I wanted to do. I wanted to be part of that tradition. I saw that pictures could not only record history, in some way they help change the course of history. They become an element in the process of change.
So the role of the war photographer is a crucial one to a democracy, I guess.
I think it's absolutely necessary. I think that the stories we tell are vital for society to function properly. How can citizens make proper decisions unless they know what's going on? Journalism is vital. And I think the particular role that photography plays is that it can make a human connection, help people see something that is universal, that transcends culture, that transcends nationality, religion, race, and is just simply human. You're witnessing something that's happening to an individual.
It's funny, you know, the stereotype of the war photographer is the adrenaline junkie. Sounds like that's not at all what it's about for you.
Adrenaline is a fact, but it's not a reason. You know, there probably are some what you would call war junkies out there, but I don't think they're the ones who continue for very long, and perhaps they're not the ones who make the most meaningful pictures. I think, you know, it's part of it, but there's this much more deep reason for pursuing this profession than adrenaline.
How do you deal with being in the places you've been, seeing the kind of suffering you've seen? I imagine one way of dealing with it would be to wall it off when you're working, to just suppress your own reactions until later. But I'm wondering whether that's changed a bit for you over the years. I mean, whether you found ways to either to open up a bit more, to actually work with and use your emotions, or do they just get in the way?
No, the emotions are natural. You have to channel them. You have to use them. You have to channel them into the work. If I were to see things and not feel emotions, then I wouldn't make pictures that were worth much. I'm the one who has to feel it first if I'm going to make anyone else feel something. So it's never been the case. It's simply not the case that photographers go someplace and wall themselves off. Our job is actually quite the opposite. Our job is to go someplace and open ourselves up and leave ourselves vulnerable and feel those things and put it into our work so that we can translate it and pass it on to the viewers.
Hmm. You're making me think about another photo in this exhibition. It's one of an Afghan woman, I think. She's completely covered in a burqa, and she's kneeling on the ground in a graveyard. You can't even see her face, but the grief is just palpable. Where was that taken? Who is she?
It was taken in a cemetery in Kabul in 1996, and she was there mourning her brother who'd been killed in a Taliban rocket attack. At that time, the Taliban had surrounded Kabul and were shelling and rocketing daily. I think the graveyard itself is expressive. It's so humble, bare, cracked earth with uncarved kind of raw stone. And her hand, her aged, weathered hand that had seen a hard life, reaching out, touching the stone, as if that's as close as she could get to her brother. What you don't get from the picture is the sound she was making as she was grieving for her brother. She was singing a kind of song in this very grief-stricken voice. It was very moving.
I'm just thinking about how hard it must be for you to be there to feel that much grief and then multiply that over and over again. You've taken photos of injured children and vets who are returning and painfully rehabbing themselves. People, at the moment, they're being shot or about to be shot. I don't know, what do you do with the grief?
You carry it with you. Nothing is forgotten. And I guess you have to carry it with you with as much grace as you possibly can. You know, again, as opposed to the stereotype, rather than getting hardened to it, I find that I get more and more sensitized to it, and it gets actually more difficult to witness such things, not less difficult. And it's just something you have to bear.
Do you still believe in the goodness of humans?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen so much goodness come out of the most horrible situation, so much generosity and hospitality, you know, I can't help but be moved and humbled by it. There's a very large installation. It's about 32 feet long. It's one single file, one single print, and it's a composite of 60 images that were all made in combat field hospitals during the war in Iraq. And it's pictures that show lives being saved. It's called The Sacrifice.
You've been there yourself, right? You've been shot. Weren't you injured in a grenade attack?
I'd been covering a single platoon for Time magazine, and I was with Mike Weisskopf, a Time reporter, and a grenade was thrown into the Humvee, and Mike had his hand blown off, and I got injured with shrapnel, and a couple of the soldiers got pretty badly hurt. So I was taken to that very same medical facility and medevaced out to Germany.
Were you still taking photographs while you were injured?
Until I passed out, yes.
Wow. Why do you keep going back?
I have a lot of experience. I still see that there's a reason as much as ever to do it. And I guess I do it because I can.
James Noctwe is a celebrated war photographer and Peace Prize winner. And we were talking back in 2015, shortly after the Witness to History exhibition opened at New Hampshire's Courier Museum. And if you want to see some of the photos we were talking about, visit our website at ttbook.org.